and the ideas that we must have debated by the 26th of March in terms of the progress. So the department did say all members are here, have got the connecting flights, and will just be as short as possible because this is our baby. DDG.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, all the members. Again, as usual, we do thank you for the opportunity to present to you on this bill today. We will be very brief. The Chairperson has already said this is your bill, actually, so there isn't much that we can tell you about it. we're just refreshing, basically, and then just indicating the things that we have so far tried to consolidate to make it the bill that will be comprehensive, that will address the issues that were raised by this committee. Just as a way of background again, the National Credit Act was passed was enacted in 2005. It did come into full effect in 2007. And the main purpose, really, of this legislation was to facilitate fair, transparent, and really equitable access to credit by consumers. And we know the history relating to credit, where the majority of people of this country could not get credit. So the reason why the Credit Act was enacted was to deal with that, to facilitate the access to credit. But over and above, it put mechanisms in the legislation to prevent where credit would be extended in a manner that is reckless by credit providers, but also to facilitate where consumers are struggling maybe with their debt, then there are mechanisms that we put in place to assist consumers to get out of that. You'll see, Chair, that actually this is a process that also set a basis for our Companies Act in terms of the business rescue provisions, where we have said that it is in the interest of the country, it is in the interest of the economy to keep businesses afloat instead of liquidating them. So you introduce a mechanism to save a business before it goes under. Similarly, under the credit legislation, what we sought to do is to ensure that if a consumer has financial problems, it shouldn't be that the consumer completely dies because of that debt. There must be a mechanism to facilitate that the consumer is able to still continue meeting their obligations, but in a manner that is at least recognizing their financial position at that particular moment. So this legislation is sound, as we've said. Also, the policy basis for it is very sound. So in the process that we went through, we looked at the policy and looked at whether there are any issues in the policy that require revision. And we did find that this legislation is very sound and that most of the policy intentions are still very valid. So there isn't a need to change that policy. So we're still in the right direction. However, we did pick up that over the period that we implemented the legislation, there are things that we intended to be achieved, which we obviously are not able to achieve fully, either because of some of the gaps in the legislation that have allowed for certain things to happen that frustrate consumers and also frustrate the objectives of this Act. And those issues, we'll just summarize them in the presentation today, and McDonald will take you through those issues. But I just want to outline, I know that there are people that have said it, not maybe in this committee, but outside, inferring that this process is a process that is being rushed, that we are rushing the legislation. Our consultation process, where we started, how we started, will actually give an indication how much time has been spent on this process. This process has not been rushed. But also, it is important for us to indicate that some of the problems that consumers are faced with arising from the implementation of this legislation, we cannot delay them any further in addressing them. We need to address them. And Chair, I must just allude to this, that this bill was actually on the parliamentary program of our department for much earlier. That was in the last financial year. And we then did get a request from the industry, because one of the issues that really necessitated this review was around the implementation of the debt cancelling and debt review process. What we found is that in the application of debt cancelling processes, the debt cancelling process is supposed to then, you know, assist the consumer that is in financial distress to rearrange their debt and be able to pay, and then and help them to get through that process through a restructuring process. And then once they have settled all of those debts, then they can be issued with a clearance certificate so that then they can then be rehabilitated. Then they can start interacting with the market again. But what we found is that ideally, when a consumer is under debt cancelling and under debt review processes, there shouldn't be any legal action that is taken against them. Again, I'm referring again the same provisions, Chair, we did include them in the Companies Act for businesses. When a company is under financial distress and it goes under a business rescue process, that process suspends any action against that company. So similarly in this case, if a consumer is under debt cancelling, then action against the consumer must be suspended to allow for that process to actually give you the appropriate outcome. So what we found over the implementation process was that credit providers continued to take legal action, they continued to repossess the houses, vehicles of consumers that are under debt cancelling. So that was caused by a number of loopholes in the legislation. So hence when we then said there is a need to address that. But while we then had plans to make that amendment to be processed through Parliament, we were approached by the industry through the BASA, is it the Banking Council of South Africa, or is it the Banking Association? Yes, the Banking Association of South Africa. They approached us as the department. They requested us to delay making amendment to the legislation. And they made a commitment that they, as credit providers, would like to explore mechanisms to assist consumers because they feel that they will be in a position to come up with a solution that will not require amendment to the legislation. So we then agreed with them to then put the program on a delay so that we can get their solution. We still don't have that solution. So it is for that reason that we then decided to proceed to come to Parliament to propose this amendment. The reason why we agreed to an industry solution is because ideally what we want is for the industry to bring solution to the public. Government only needs to intervene when the market is not working very well. If the market is working very well, we don't want to interfere with it. And so we allowed that opportunity. But then the opportunity did not give us the result. So hence we then had to come here, Chair. Chair, I'm emphasizing again, there is nothing that we are rushing in terms of this bill. Our review process started already in 2012, where we commissioned a review, a comprehensive review of the credit legislation. But before that, when the Act was implemented, we already had the University of Pretoria on board to look at the impact on an ongoing basis. So even prior to that, we had all of the baseline information that was being collected by them. They had assessed all of the areas of this legislation. They've given us the areas that require attention, and a comprehensive review was done in 2012, and the processing around of the policy and the bill was done also through consultation in the provinces, consultation through the government gazette notices, where we received a whole lot of submissions from the public. So, Chair, this was very well consulted, very extensive consultation, but also the research that we were conducting in this space was also very intense. And so there is a sound basis for all of the proposals that we've made here, and would like to assure the committee that there is no part of what we are bringing to you that we have not considered very carefully. Everything that we have here, we have considered it very well. Chair, I just want to also just indicate that the bill has gone through the process in Parliament, in the National Assembly. It was adopted there, and it has been referred to this committee for this committee to do its part of the work. And I must also just indicate that on Wednesday as well, the Minister did issue a notice that deal with the removal of adverse information that is held by credit bureaus, and that part of the notice has also been integrated into this legislation for sustainability, because there are a number of things that have been a problem for consumers, and we sought to make sure that what is in the notice can also be on an ongoing basis integrated into the legislation. So I'm going to just stop there. As I indicated, it was just by way of just giving a background, and McDonald is going to just take the committee through the various areas that we are amending, and I hope McDonald, we're not going to take more than 10 minutes. I think the committee has requested us to be brief, and as we said, we know that this is your bill, so we are actually telling you about your work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair, and honourable members. As the DDG has already indicated, I'm going to run through the provisions that we are bringing before the honourable house. One of the issues that we are amending in the legislation is to deal with the national, to strengthen the powers of the national credit regulator to ensure more efficient regulation. That is a statement that is sort of loaded. It means that processes will have to be improved. It means, therefore, the enforcement part of it, like when they register the registrants, they will have to do it more efficiently, and then again, it will have to deal with the issue that there is a board. When we talk about the board is sort of a side supreme body, and then there is also the department that also has, that the National Credit Regulator has to account to. So there are sort of two processes, and then through a project within the department, that was SARA, it recommended that seemingly the board is sort of delaying issues, the smooth running, decision taking, service delivery. So because of those reasons, the board has to give way, in so much that therefore the higher echelon of the National Credit Regulator will have to account to the minister. This is not a new thing. We have the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, there is no board. Account straight to the minister for service delivery purposes. We have the National Consumer Commission, the same story. Some people thought maybe we want not to adhere to the issue of the PSMA. It is not true. We cannot carve out from the PSMA. So therefore, this issue is only for service delivery. Accountability in terms of the government legislation are still in point. So the second issue is the reckless lending. When this act was implemented, we may say the NCR, National Credit Regulator, was busy with the issue of educating the public, not rushing into the issue of punishing, call it corporate leniency, sort of. But it started to do the biting when it referred the matter to the tribunal of the African Bank, if you may recall, because of reckless lending. So that's when it was starting to bite. But all in all is that the guidelines on affordability assessment, we find that they are dependent on the will of the credit provider. So Standard Bank has its own approach, FNB has gone the legend. So therefore, as for now, the deal is saying, come with affordability assessment regulation that will be issued by the minister after consultation, and those regulations should be binding, no longer guidelines. So therefore, that will reduce the issue of reckless lending. So there is a duty on the credit provider to conduct the affordability assessment that is binding, and then there is also a duty from the side of the consumer to reveal everything that they have a disposable, the discretionary income. So therefore, the issue of reckless lending will be dealt accordingly. And then there is also the issue of alternative dispute resolution. So the access it stands, it also has mediation, conciliation, and the like. So it allows bodies to do alternative dispute resolution. But everything should be done in accordance with the Act. We don't want people to run a parallel process. The DDG was talking about the industry coming with something. That something is in the area of dispute resolution. They wanted to come with it, and then they were given a chance, but concept document was not finished to us in order to see that they are doing it within the purview of the Act. So otherwise, if we don't do it within the purview of the Act, the consumer will be left in the lurch, and therefore we will be coming with a lot of problems. So the other issues generally is the issue of rectification of ambiguous drafting. These are technical issues. And then the other issue is to clarify interpretation difficulties in terms of Section 129, the notice to say what is the service, what is the delivery to the person, the consumer, and then all those issues were clarified in the court judgment for the access to be changed accordingly. The other issue is to deal with the registration of the payment distribution agency. Payment distribution agencies, they collect money on behalf of the consumer and send it to the credit provider, but these bodies are not registered as for now. It is just a loose agreement between the regulator and them. But the agreement is working well. As for now, we want to say the fee should now formalize that relationship. It must be in the Act. There must be duties and responsibilities, and then they must also have a trust account, and then they must be audited because they may start to eat the money of the consumer or not to pass the money to the credit provider again, giving problem now to the consumer. So this deal seeks to formalize that relationship. The issue of affordability assessment I've already covered. This Act also empowers the BIL, National Consumer Tribunal, to be able to adjudicate and make rulings on applications for suspension of reckless credit agreements, thus creating a cost-effective relief for the consumer. The other issue is the debt counselors. They must employ trained staff, and then they themselves must be fit and proper persons. And then the PGAs, again, also must be fit and proper in order to be appointed accordingly by the NPR. So the issue of clearance certificate, the business risk that the minister, the DDG was talking about, this clearance certificate, we are saying in simple terms that when the debt counselor is busy with the rearrangement of debt, they should be, the following should happen. Everything should be restructured. In other words, when you do rearrangement, you come to new terms. It may be the timelines, it may be the installment that is to be paid. So everything needs to be restructured in order to be okay for the consumer. So the installments, the arrears need to be paid, and then if there is a long term, like a bond or mortgage, everything has been paid, that is restructured, then we should be in a position of saying the consumer should apply to the debt counselor to issue a clearance certificate. That is so, notwithstanding that the bond is entirety, is not wholly settled. That is so, notwithstanding that the bond or a long-term agreement is not wholly settled, because a long-term or a bond maybe is 20 to 30 years. And if we have to wait for that, that will be too late to rehabilitate the consumer. So that is what this bill seeks to do. The other issue of automatic removal, the DDG has already said about it. The notice, we talk about it, to say on the 26th February, day before yesterday, it was issued. Prescription of debt, the debt dies a natural death if the credit provider does not claim or demand payment, say within 3 years, it dies. And then if you issue a letter as a credit provider to me to say pay, and then you take me to court, I can raise prescription to say this debt has died or expired. That is a defense. But that is not the situation in the general public. You find that the general public, because of ignorance, the letters are issued, and then they respond by starting to pay as requested. Just to pay maybe 5 cents as an example. That 5 cent payment reactivates the debt, and therefore this sale of expired debt needs to be prohibited in terms of this act. And then there is also the issue of credit insurance. The NPR has got a power to deal with the abuse of credit life insurance. They can cap. They can cap the interest. And then we are saying it must be done, rigorously. So all in all is that our minister also should deal with the issue of the cost of credit in the main. The cost of credit, you find that there are many interests from the debt collectors. It may be the area of magistracy, the high courts. All these issues compound to burdening the consumer. And therefore, in order to deal with them, we need maybe to confer, the minister to confer with the Minister of Finance, also to confer with the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, so that we show that this government is moving in one direction in lessening the burden to the consumer. Generally, I think these are the provisions that we are bringing to the committee for approval. Thanks.
Chair, through you, just in closing our presentation, McDonald has covered those issues, but I think it's important to indicate that some of the things were not initially the things that we thought we'll seek amendments on, but they were raised by stakeholders during public hearings. The issue around the cost of credit was raised largely by the public. The cost of credit in this case, we're talking about collection costs, you know, sometimes a debt that starts being 1,000 rands, then it ends up at 3,000 rand, you know, people required to pay lots and lots of monies, and people require controls around that. And there's also issues around the interest. The interest is kept in terms of the regulations that are issued by the minister, but the question is whether, in fact, these are adhered to. Consumers do feel that this is not properly controlled or monitored, and that they get to be charged high interest on debt. So that issue is a very critical issue, and we are proposing in this amendment, obviously, that some of the areas like the credit insurance, which did not have a capping provision, that such provision be included so that they can be kept. Because one of the things that have come out is that there is a abuse of credit life insurance, especially, where people are required to take insurance, credit life insurance, on each and every debt that they're taking, even very short-term debt, and that adds to the cost of the credit. The other thing that I just want to emphasize, Chair, is the issue around the affordability assessments. The fact that affordability assessments are not done properly, that is, if done at all, leads to a whole lot of reckless lending. So meaning that consumers actually get to be extended credit that they actually cannot afford. There's lots of consumers that still continue to receive pre-approved credit cards, pre-approved accounts. All you need to do is to get into the store, activate it. The question is, who does the affordability assessment? And that is not done. I think any one of us can go into just three retail shops. You can just go into the mall and just go into three retails. You'll see, just see how they do the affordability assessment, and you'll see why we're saying that there's a huge gap there. It's not done. And therefore, consumers that may be in financial trouble are tempted to take credit. And we are saying that this law must protect the consumers against themselves as well. It is the responsibility of government, because if we don't protect them, then they become again a liability of government anyway. So it is important to introduce measures to do that. Other people will call it a nanny state or whatever they want to call it. But at the end of the day, we're saying that where government has a responsibility to protect the consumer, government must protect consumers. So, and if the law is what we need to do that, the law must be amended to achieve exactly that outcome. The last point that I also just wanted to emphasize is around the concern that came up around illegal credit providers. The concern has been raised. Illegal operators, you find them everywhere. They open here, they shut down this side, they open on the other side, they move around. You find them at pay points for SASA grants and all of that. There is a problem. So one of the things that is in this legislation, the current Credit Act, is that if you've got, there is a limitation, for instance, for registration. If you're a credit provider, but you don't actually have about more than 100 credit agreements, there's no requirement for you to register, but there's a requirement for you to comply with the legislation. However, that makes monitoring different, you know, difficult, because how do you monitor somebody that you don't know? You don't even know where these people are. So, and that space, the space where a whole lot of these crooks are playing, the ones that are charging almost 100% interest on a loan and are preying on very, very unsuspecting consumers, very poor consumers often, they play in that space. So you'll never know that they don't have more than 100 credit agreements, actually, because they don't actually even record them, because they just want to play in that space where no one can touch them. So we are then proposing here that every credit provider, whether it's one agreement or what, you must be registered. At least we know who you are, so that we can be able to identify the ones that are illegal. Because then if you've got some people that are apparently legitimate but are playing in the space where they are also illegitimate people, then you can, it's not easy for monitoring purposes to pick them up. So this is proposing that we do that regulation. So really, that is all that we have brought to this committee. And we cannot overemphasize the importance of the notice that was issued on Wednesday by the minister. That notice has actually given us even more in terms of information that informed these amendments and actually helped to support the proposals that we're putting here. Because the research that was done there has actually highlighted a whole lot of gaps that ordinarily we would not have the information to bring to this committee. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity again. Thanks.
Thanks very much. You've done very well in terms of time. I want to stress that this is our baby. And just for us to endorse, there are words that somebody at one stage when we were discussing said, there are three words that are very difficult that you must look, you must watch carefully when you hear them. The first one is sale, the other one is patient, and the other one is safe. And this person continued to say, you know, a certain group of the population likes it when they see these words. Even if they are passing, they say, oh, there's a sale there, let me check. Oh, there's a facial here, let me check. So those words are very dangerous. And you don't see what you are saving with this safe. You don't get what you are supposed to save. There's one special delegate. I'll request the special delegate just to introduce himself. After that, I'll insist that the CEO just have her minute, and then Charmaine, and then we'll take it, we'll close the moment.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Tola. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Economic Development, Eastern Cape Legislature.
The rest we know one another. Charmaine, what do you say about this? We started with you in the beginning. Can we end it today?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Maybe from my side, I can just give members a quick rundown of the process in the Portfolio Committee. I think that might assist members to understand what has happened to the bill to date. The Portfolio Committee had quite extensive public hearings, with 4 days of public hearings. They received about 41 submissions that were considered. A number of amendments that were made to this bill arose from those public hearings and those public submissions. So the bill that you have before you is actually very different from the one that was introduced. In fact, a number of amendments that were proposed and things that have already been highlighted, in fact, I think most of them are already up then, right now, things like the prescription of debt, credit insurance, making it an offence if a person is not charging more than interest.
No, on a point of order, the Portfolio Committee's recommendation to anything that happens has got no impact on us, because this bill must go to provinces. That's where the basic impact lies. And we will have the department going with us, to the provinces to explain the crux of the matter, because we have already dealt in our provinces preliminary with this bill. Remember when we had public hearings, when we had the banking associations and all that. We had a public hearing with all the financial institutions at Nelson Mandela Road Place one morning. So I value the input of the advocate, but I think it's got no impact on the bill, on us here so far.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Charmaine, just your remarks.
Thank you, Chairperson. If members can just bear with me, because the actual comment that I wanted to make is just something that might come up in provinces when committee, when the members are, in fact, the legislatures are consulting, is that these issues that I've just now referred to, there were additional consultations done on them. And there was a concern, and that is what I want to point out, that there wasn't sufficient consultation. But I think I can. The advice that we provided the committee was that there was sufficient. But these are the things I think that, that perhaps in the legislatures will be very important to have a consideration of, because those aren't the things that were in the bill as it was introduced. It is, in other words, something. The bill that is before this committee is really a significant bill. And I think that the input from the provinces will be extremely important. Thank you.
CEO.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. As the National Credit Regulator, I must say, you know, we welcome the amendment bill, especially the removal of adverse consumer credit information. We really owe this. We would like to thank, you know, the DTI, especially the DDG and her team, together with the Portfolio Committee on Trade Industry and this particular committee. This will certainly make sure that, you know, we are able to give more protection to consumers in this country. We as the NCR have, you know, a lot of work cut out for us, and we want to make sure that we don't disappoint you. And that's it for me,
Honourable Chair. Thank you. Thank you. What the notice says, you remember, when we deal with these things, because they're going to go to provinces, we discuss very little about them. We engage in the provinces. What the notice says, it says from the 1st of April, no credit provider will be allowed to use the information that is listed there. But then credit providers have got 2 months to clear this negative information. So if there is a credit provider, the consumer that wants to do something, as from the 1st of April, no negative information will be used against that consumer. But please make it bear in mind that they still have to remove that information for 2 months, and that consumers are required to service the debt. That we need to stress. And lastly, with the issue of time, or, you know, of certain sectors complaining that we're rushing, I really don't know what rushing is, man. If you start something in 2012 or 2011, it's 2014. And they say it's rushing. You go outside, they say you're too slow to do things. You know, you take a long time to do things. I mean, I think we've taken long with this bill, far more long with this bill, so that then we need some implementation. A few comments from members, because this bill belongs to provinces. I'll allow just comments of some clarity-seeking questions, because these officials are going to accompany us to provinces. They'll assist us. Otherwise, this is our place.
Okay, I want to concur with you. Like you said, we don't know what people must define Russian to us, because there has been various, I mean, even from this committee side, we had public, not public hearing, but media interview. We spent hours, what is this program, but on SABC 1, we had interviews as members of the committee from in all the languages of South Africa, as the constitution required. The NCR was even interviewed on this, the department. So, and as you know, that we as the committee even had our hearings and we had our various meetings. So I really don't know what the words or who said that we are rushing the bill through. The fact of the matter is that the critical parties, Chair, the provinces, and I want to also, as you stressed it out, Madam Ntuli and the champion of this Credit Act, should really send competent people to go to the provinces. People that can answer when questions arise. But not just for the briefing, Chair. I would also request the department, when the provinces have their public hearings, that they can also send the official to attend that public hearings as well, please. Because we might get one or two of the smart aleks that did not come right here to go down to the provinces and try and hamper the process. So I would really make that plea, Boss Ntuli and Bossman McDonald, through you, Chair, that they can deploy also their soldiers or their foot soldiers when the public hearings are also being held in the provinces. Thanks, Chair.
That should be Honourable Van Lingen. We've got 1 minute now.
Listen, we're not rushing this bill. Give me a chance.
You're rushing flights.
I want to say thank you very much for the opportunity. I know it's Friday morning, and yeah, we certainly come a long way with this bill. And a lot of work and a lot of good work has gone into this bill. Thank you. After the warnings that we've had about the industry that could take issues up at public hearings when we go to the provinces now, please tell us now which are the institutions that are objecting to this and what issues do they raise so that we are forewarned and forearmed. Point number one. Point number two, my concern still is the implementation of the bill when it comes to loan sharks and SASSA cards and how are we going to actually retrieve the SASSA cards from the loan sharks that stand at the ATMs at 1 o'clock in the morning the first day of the month. But thank you very much. It's looking really very good. Thank you.
That was very good. 1 minute exactly.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Lots of work has been done since we last had our meeting. I also want to ask about the SASSA grant, especially in my constituency. That is actually very crucial. You find that as Honourable Van Lingen has said, loan sharks, they permanently keep the people's cards. Apparently, there's rumour that there's some sort of where they don't keep your card, but they've got access to your account. I don't know how true that is. But people got cards, but they can't actually withdraw because they issue people with some slip, and they can actually go with the balance of if they're supposed to get 1,000 rand, and they owe them, they can go and withdraw at some ShopRite checkers. I don't know. I'm trying to investigate in my community. I've received some information in that regard. Then also, like you said, the affordability assessment, there's a huge gap. Because you find going into any store within 5 minutes, they would actually approve it. You find, I don't know if they've got it on the record list, when people move from shop to shop and bank to bank, I think it is there where you've seen people who say, I pay 1,000 rand for this and 500 rand. In the very next, when they go for assessment again to another shop, they lie. There should be something that kicks them out immediately and say, but why are you lying? You've just been to shop number A now, you're not telling the truth. So that is a concern. You find that people just go about lying, unfortunately, because they do need the money, they would say and do anything. And we need to protect the consumer. Thank you.
Most of the things, now, let me remind you, the late former President Mandela once said, if you want to ask a question, first attempt to answer it. You'll find most of the answers in your question. The same thing, most of the things that we're asking, And I think members raised them even in the earlier briefings, more especially the thorny issue about SASSA cards. Honorable Van Lingen was even had some proof in the Eastern Cape. Can you please draw that into your presentation and responses in the provinces? These are the major burning issues, SASSA cards and so on, because we'll be part of the discussion in the provinces. I want to urge members that we do so, that we give them as homework, the issues that we've raised, and they bring in some facts when we go to provinces. And lastly, most members always ask, hey, we're going to provinces, can I have the DDG coming to my province? Or maybe Jenda. No. Unfortunately, this time, both of them will be in KwaZulu-Natal. So, so the department will send an official to the province. That is coming. Yeah, sometimes all people are equal, but some are more equal than others. Okay, honorable members. I think so that I want to thank members for compromising on this day, making some time, and especially since we are meeting before we meet on the 25th, as a committee, really want to thank the DDG, McDonald, and all the team. It started somewhere, it's going to end somewhere. Thanks very much. Pass our thanks also to the DG and also to the minister. We have responded positively whenever it's an issue. The CEO of NCR, very positive. I'm still sending her complaints about people who are blacklisted and so on. I forward them to the CEO. But thanks very much, DDG. You have done very well on this one. I also inquired about this now. They've given me a copy. Copyright Review Commission Report 2011. From my constituency, someone wrote to me and inquired about the implementation, so it's going to be implemented very soon. Yes?
One second. I just want to also make it known that this committee thanks Pirates for sending the DDG.
Okay. They still have to face Kaiser Chiefs. Thanks very much to everybody. This meeting stays adjourned. Let us enjoy our briefings in public. Thank you. Thank you.